Okay, we're going to start here on the Mishnah on Tzadi Vavam and Aleph. Here the Gemara is continuing, or the Mishnah is continuing to discuss the Menachot, just like before we discussed where they are done, here we're going to discuss where the Chavitim are done. So we take Kohen Gadol, Lishatan, V'arichatan, V'afiatan, Bifnim. Over here, as opposed to the Shtei Alechem and Alechem Apanim, we had a Mishnah before that said, Lishatan, V'arichatan, Bachutz, and V'afiatan, Bifnim. Over here, we have all three processes done inside. V'dochot at the Shabbat, they for sure doche Shabbat, because here it's consistent if you have to do it bifnim, and it has to be done every day, and it's going to be possible. You know, you must be able to do it on Shabbat. So that makes sense. Techinatan v'harkadatan eno doche Shabbat. When it comes to grinding them or sifting them, those are not doche Shabbat. Klal amar Rabbi Akiva, it's a very basic principle. You see in Pesachim, we saw it in Rabbi Elazar de Milo. Kol melacha she'efshar lasot me'erev Shabbat eno doche Shabbat. If you can do it before Shabbat, go ahead and do it. Techina and harkada do not require kli sharet. Therefore, they can be done before Shabbat, and they're not pasul b'lina. V'she'efshar lasot me'erev Shabbat, when it comes to lisha, aricha, and afia, which are all done in a kli sharet, they cannot be done in erev Shabbat, because they'd be pasul b'lina. So therefore, they're doche at the Shabbat. Now, what is the difference over here? Why all of a sudden, lisha and aricha, by the chavite kohen gadol, require kli sharet, and the previous mission, they do not? Rashi over here says, the divrei hakol. This is the divrei hakol. Oto chetzias siron sheyecholek bo yisrono shel kohen gadol. The kohen gadol had to split the chavitin up, machetzita b'boker, machetzita b'erev. He started out with an yisrono and splits it in half. That chetzi yisrono that's used, everybody agrees was nit kadesh. That was a kli sharet. That's why the chavitim here of the elisha and the aricha are done biktusha, have to be done inside, and are pasul b'lina. But the yisrono, the regular Yisaron, Adam lo ashku Yisaron shalem yipnei shekol adam oded bo minchato. Because that's open for public use. V'pamim shemotzi olachutz. Since the chatzi Yisaron is used for only one purpose in the Mikdash, and that is to take care of the Chavitei Kohen Gadol. So then it's up to Zrizim, it's up to the Kohanim. That was Nitkadesh, we don't have any questions, that must be done bifnim. What wasn't Nitkadesh was the Yisaron, because the Yisaron was something that was used by the public, it was used by any mincha that was brought, and therefore they were not Mikadesh because they were afraid of people taking it out of the Azara, they were afraid of those issues. Tosos disagrees with Rashi's distinction over here, and he makes this different distinction which has to do with the amount of shemen that is placed in. When it comes to a regular mincha, we know that there's a log shemen per yisaron. Whereas when it comes to the chavite kohen gadol, we know that it has extra shem, which is 3 log shemen to the yisaron. It also says that the nature of the chavite kohen gadol is almost like a lach, and therefore it was done bekli lach, and it was nitkadesh. So Tosus makes the distinction between midat yavesh and midat lach, and that the chavite kohen gadol have properties of midat lach because of the amount of shemen that goes into it. So that would be the distinction that Tosus draws between the lechem apanim and the shtei lechem, which have no shemen at all, and the chavite Kohen Gadol, which is Yavesh versus Lach, whereas Rashi is making a distinction in the size of the measurement, the Yisaron versus the Chatzi Yisaron. Tosus then extends this idea and says, even by regular Menachot, because they have Shemen, that they also have to end up in a Bisa, in a Midat Lach, and that's why they need Kadesh. So why did the Mishnah pick Minchat Chavitim and not all Menachot, if the din is the same by all of them? He suggests because Minchat Chavitim has 2 distinctions. Number one is that it's Midat Lach, it has Shemen in it, and number two is it's Doche Shabbat, which isn't true of all the other Menachot. Right now, the Gemara is going to continue here to describe the Shtei Alechem Lechem Panim. Kol Menachot sheyesh behen maaseh kli bifnim, vein maaseh kli b'chutz. If it requires kli sharet, it must be done bifnim, because then it's nitkadesh. If it's nitkadesh, according to Rashi, it's pasul b'yotze. According to Tosfot, it's inappropriate to take it out. And certainly, if it's in the oven or on the shulchan, already been nitkadesh, then everybody agrees it's pasul b'yotze. Now, Shtei Alechem, the Shtei Alechem are arkan shiv'at tvachim. They are 7 tvachim, v'rachvan dalet tvachim, and they are 4 tefach wide. V'kanu tehem arba etzbaot. And their corners are 4 etzba'ot. Describe that in a second. The lechem apanim, which is what the rest of the mission is going to be about, arkan yud tfachim. They are 10 tfachim long. Virachban, 5 tfachim wide. Ukranotav, 7 etzba'ot. And the corners are 7 etzba'ot. On the lechem apanim, when they cook the lechem apanim, you can see in these pictures that they have a base, they have walls on the side, and then they come up over the top. When they come up over the top, it's not necessarily, this is not clear whether it goes all the way across or just in the corners. That's what we're called the karnayim over here. These corners were extra dough that was put in the corners. I'm showing them folded over here. Oh, so, right. So, and normally, actually, when you look at Karnayim, standing up straight. So in the corners, there was extra dough that made them stand up straight. We're going to see later on in the Mishnah that they actually had to fold them over because the Lechem Panim were stacked one on the other. So if you didn't have spacing, if you didn't fold the Karnayim inward, then you would end up with flat Karnayim. They get pushed back down. Whether it went across the whole part or just in the corners, that's a question about how these Karnayim looked. We have 10 by 5. That's what we know about the Lechem Panim. But now we have to know how they're laid out on the Shulchan. And that comes to a machlokas about what the Shulchan looks like. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shalot Tite'e, Rabbi Yehuda Aya Noten Bahem Simanim, Tetzach, Adash, Ve'achav, Avir, Zadad, and Yahaz. You want to know which one? The Shtei Lechem are Zadad, which is 7 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim by 4 etzbot for the Kanaim. And the Lechem HaPanim are Yahaz, which is Yud Tvachim by 5 Tvachim with 7 etzbot for the Karnaim. Now, Ben Zoma Omer, V'natata l'shukhan Lechem HaPanim lifanai tamid, Lechem Panim, Shei lo Panim. It has to have a face to it. So the face to it is that either it means the walls up on the side, or it means these Karnaim that are become the Panim of the Lechem. No, not cholik. He's explaining to you why we need panim here is because of the pasuk by lechem panim. Shulchan arko yud v'rachbo chamisha. The shulchan itself was 10 by 5, which is shitat Rabbi Yehuda. Lechem apanim was also 10 by 5. Problem is that you can't just put the 10 by 5 on the shulchan. It's 10 by 5 because we have 2 starim of lechem apanim. So notain arko keneged rachbo. You put the length of the lechem apanim keneged the rochav of the table, so shulchan. So if you do that, the orech, the length of the lechem apanim is 10 tefachim. So now what are you going to do? You're on a 5 tefach wide shulchan. So what do? You fold up the sides. How much do you have to fold up on the sides to get that 2.5 on each side? So that's exactly. Kofel tefachim amechzam ikan utfayim achetzam ikan. Put up 2.5 on each side. Nimtza or kol mimalei rachbo shel shulchan. The length of the lechem apanim now is filling the width of the shulchan. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what you have here is you have a shulchan that is 5 tefachim wide. You have the lechem apanim here, which sits 5 tefach wide, 2.5 high on each side, with the karnayim that fold over. In between are the kanim that sit in between them. And we're going to see later on in the Gemara that they were mushka, they were actually into the lechem a little bit. So there was very little gapping between the lechem, one on top of each other. We have kanim across that lift them up. In the end, we're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda believes that the bazichim go on top here. Bazichei levona sit on the top of top lechem apanim. Now, the shulchan the other way, which is the shulchan itself, is 10 tefachim wide. We just said here that the rochav of the lechem apanim is 5 tefachim. So I have 2 starim exactly lined up next to each other on the shulchan, and then 3 kanim on top of each one of the lechemim that lines up, and then you stack them on top of each other. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita so far. Now we're going to move on to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omer, HaShulchan or Kol Yud Bet, the shulchan is 12 tefachim long and 6 tefachim wide. Now that has to do with the Amma and the Migdash. He believes that the Amma of the Kelim was actually a 6 tefach Amma, as opposed to what we normally consider to be a 5 tefach Amma. If I do that, now I have a Shulchan that is 12 by 6. Lechem Panim, he still agrees, Arko Yud Rachbo, hey. Notain Arko Keneged Rachbo. Again, we're going to put the length of the lechem connected to the rochav of the shulchan. So now if I do that, I have a shulchan here that is 6 tefachim wide. I'm going to lay the lechem apanim across it. What do I have left over now? I've taken 6, I have a 10 tefach long lechem apanim. I have 4 left over to split between the 2 sides. That means I have 2 tefachim high on the walls. That's what he says. Kofel tefachayim mikan utefachayim mikan. I'm going to have 2 tefach up on both sides of the lechem apanim. Retefachayim revach be'emtza. Okay, now we have the other issue, which is, if he really believes that it's 12 tefachim long, he still agrees that the width of the lechem apanim are 5. So now if he puts the 2 starim on, he has 5 and 5 is 10, and he has a table that is 12 wide. So what does he end up with? He ends up with 2 tefachim in the emtza, in between the 2 starim, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who has them adjacent, right up against each other. Over here, Rabbi Meir has a gap of 2 tefachim between the 2 starim, because he has, we'll call it, flatter bread, because they're only 2 tefachim high on the walls, rather than 2.5 of Rabbi Yehuda. He has flatter bread that are wider to cover the extra width of the table, but they do not cover the extra length of the table, and therefore there's this gap of 2 tefachim. Today, why do you have that gap? Shidei ruach min hashevet behem. In order that the wind can get in between them, meaning air, so that they don't go bad, there's some airflow between them. Abba Shulam Ha'er, Shama Yunotnim, Shnei Bezichei Levona. That's what you were asking about before. Here we put the 2 Bezichei Levona sit in those 2 tefachim between the 2 Sederim, on the Shulchan itself. So Amru Lo, Arei Kvar Ne'amar, V'natata La Merechet Levona Zaka. you'll place on the marechet, meaning on the lechem apanim, the bezichei levuna, which is what Rabbi Yehuda suggests over here. Amalehem, harei kvar ne'amar. We just finished parashat b'midbar, and it says, by Ephraim, it says, v'alav matei Menashe. Well, since when was Menashe sitting on top of Ephraim? They weren't sitting on top of Ephraim. Alav means next to, with, alongside. So that's also over here. Alongside the lechem apanim, you're going to have the bezichei levuna, even though they're sitting on the shulchan. No.
You can't
prove that it's not. Okay, now, v'arba snipim shel zahav hayu. So there were four snipim of zahav. So when you look at the four snipim of zahav over here, the snipim are these long lines over here, which hold up, they start from the floor and come up, and they hold the bread in place. They hold the bread in place as well as support the kanim. So this is one seder over here. So this is, you have one snip, and then the second seder will have an additional set of snipim. The kanim are sitting, that's what they are mefutzalim. That mefutzalim means that they were marked or engraved. Mira shehem, we discussed this yesterday, the Rashi means only on the top or along, all the way along. It seems to be that they're marked all the way along and the kanim set all the way along there. Sheyu sumchim behem, shnayim l'seder zeh, shnayim l'seder zeh. Each seder got two snipim. Now the kanim, chavchet kanim. They are 28 kanim. Kichatzi kaneh chalul. They're like a half pipe, a hollow half pipe. So you can see here, I put the kanim on here, they're half hollow pipes that sit on top of the lechem apanim, across the tops of the lechem apanim. Now these half pipes on each level require three for each seder. So now I have, if I count here, I have six lechamim that sit on top of each other. For the first five, they have three kanim in them. That means four, in the four spaces between the first five, I have three kanim for each seder, or six. So four times six is 24. I have 24 kanim. On the top layer, because there was only one lechem sitting on top of it, they only had two kanim supporting it. So two kanim supporting means that the top layer across only has four kanim. Four kanim across plus the 24 that we did already gives you the 28 that the Mishnah is mentioning over here. They were stacked. These kanim over here, the two starim, the six kanim, each layer had, there are four gaps, because one, two, three, four gaps. So that gives you the four times the six is the 24. And then the top level, there are only two. The middle one was not there on the top because it was not as heavy, and therefore you only have four on that top layer. And that's how you get the 28. The 14 for each, right? Just half of what we did for both sederim. Lo sidur kanim v'lo nitilatam dulcheta shabbat. Placing of the lechem apanim on the kanim, meaning actually putting the kanim on and taking them off, is not dulcheta shabbat. So now, what do you do? Because they're part of the binyan of the kli, and you can't do it on Shabbat. So what do they used to do? Ela nichnas me'erev shabbat, goes in on erev shabbat, v'shomto, he pulls out the kanim on erev shabbat, v'no le'arko shel shulchan, he lays them on the orech shulchan, and then when it comes after Shabbat, they go back in and put them back in.
It's a mikdash.
We don't wave all the rabbanans in the mikdash. We're talking about a din derabbanan. It's vinyan and soter by prakim. There's only a din derabbanan. And he says shvut, there is an shvut with mikdash. And Rashi says that's not true of all shvut with mikdash. When it comes to shvut mikdash, children are suspended. Rashi says, here, davakav din shvut mikdash, haytiltu la mishum shvutu. It's not a din in mukseh, a mechse kibonon and soter. It's a shvut, a mechse kibonon and soter. And since it's mechse kibonon and soter, it's not suspended. That's not suspended when it comes to shvut like that. Shvut in the mikdash is suspended when we're talking about something that is mukseh. So something that is carrying or a din derabanan in tumah sometimes is suspended, but that's not true when it comes to bone and soter or mechzek bone and soter. Those items do not get suspended in the mikdash, and that's why it's not toch Shabbat over here. All right, because of the problem doing it on Shabbat, they used to go in on erev Shabbat, pull out the kanim, and then put the lechem apanim, leave it stacked on each other. I mean, they were pretty big. You have to think about the size of these lechem apanim; they're thick and they're big, so they sat on top of each other. Then Shabbat, they came, swapped it out, brought in the new lechem apanim, put the other ones off, and they did not put the kanim back in. They just let it sit there. Then, after Motzei Shabbat, they came in and put the kanim in, lifted up the lechem apanim and stuck the kanim between them so they would support between them. But they didn't do it on Shabbat itself. This is a statement of machlokas we're going to see in a bit, but it's a statement that all of the kelim and the mikdash followed the mikdash itself. The length of the mikdash, which runs east-west, so too, all the kelim were running east-west. Right now, there are exceptions to that rule. One is the aron. their own. And then the other one that is possible exceptions is the menorah, and we'll see that's a machlokas Rabbi and the Elazar Rabbi Shimon. We'll see later on that our mission is like Rabbi, that it says that it's mizmach ma'arav, that the menorah was sitting east-west. Kol ha-menachot yesh mehem ma'aseh kli bifnim. Shalu et Rabbi. Zu, minayin. Where do we know this? That every kli needs to be a kli shered and inside. Amalhem, hari omer. It says in Yechezkel, v'yomer elai zeh amakom esher yivashlu shem ha-kohanim. This is the place where the kohanim will cook et ha-asham v'et ha-chatat. It's backwards in the Gemara here. It's the asham and ha-chatat. Asher yofu et ha-mincha ha-vilti otzi al-chatzir ha-chitzona. And then where they will bake the menachot so they don't take them out to the chatzir ha-chitzona. Mincha dumiyad asham v'chatat. Ma asham v'chatat tunim kli. Af mincha nami tuna kli. That's how we know that a mincha requires a kli sheret. Because here the processes of cooking and baking are compared. And just like cooking by definition requires a kli, you don't cook without a kli. So to over here, the mincha is going to require baking in a kli, or is going to require a kli sheret. Am Rabbi Yochanan, the divrei omer tfayim v'mechza kofel nimsa shulchan mikadesh chamisha asa tfachim lamalo. According to the one who says that it's tfayim v'mechza, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that the shulchan is only 5 tfachim wide, therefore he has to fold up the lechem apanim 2.5 on each side, therefore he has that the airspace above the shulchan that is covered by the lechem apanim is 6 times 2.5. There's 6 lechemaniot times 2.5 gives you 15 tfachim. That means here, from the shulchan itself to the top of the lechem is going to be 15 tfachim, 2.5 times 6. Now it sits on top of the shulchan. There's a tofach saviv, tefach worth of a tether that goes around. That is not the zer. The zer might be independent of that. Mere zer might sit on top of the tofach. That is unclear here. It depends where the tofach is. But right now the tofach we're suggesting is below, and the shulchan sits on top of it, and lechem panim sits on top of that. So let's say a 15 tfachim here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the Rabbi Yochanan is explaining. Now the divya omer tfachim, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that each lechem is tef tfachim, 2 tefachim, kofel nimsa shulchan. That means that the airspace above the shulchan that is able to be mekadesh things that come into it is 12 tefachim high. That's 6 lechem times 2, which gives you 12 high. Off top of the shulchan, you'll get 12 tefachim high. That is mekadesh. Va'ika kanim. We show over here that there's a kanim between each level of the lechem. There's a kanim there. Kanim shkuyei mishkayolhu. That's why I'm showing you here in the picture. I don't show you the kanim leaving a gap between them because they are pressed into the dough. The kanim themselves are pressed into the lechem below it, so they don't take up any space. Says my time. What are the kanim there for? Mishum ipushe lechem. Because if we don't want the lechem to go bad, meaning that they need airflow between the lechem. So sof sof kame apish lechem. What do you mean? If you just sink the kanim into the lechem below it, that means the lechem above is sitting right on top of the other lechem. There's no airspace. The answer is the megabale purta. That's what I tried to show you here, that there's a tiny amount over there. Chalulim, right, they were hollow. No, but they're sitting flush with the other lechem. If you depress the hollow half pipe into the lechem below, the top of the half pipe and the top of the lechem are flush. Only where the pipes are do you have air, but not across the whole bottom of the lechem. All right, the megavale purta. They lifted it up a bit. I tried to show you over here. I put the kanim there with a gibble gap. Vayikaha purta. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he's saying it's like 15 or 12. That's based on 6 times 2 or 6 times 2.5. What happened to that purta? He says, gave it the lobby tefach lochashi place, and it's not a full tefach. They were not machshivit. Vayika bazichim. What about the bazichim that sit on top of the lechem? Bigavei the lechem avayatves. That's what I pictured you over here, that the bazich sits inside of the top lechem. That's not a problem avayatve. Well, hadi lechem avukaime. And so they don't go higher than the lechem, the top lechem in which they sit. Rashi asks over here, why do we care about the bazichim at all? It's not like the shulchan is mekadesh the bazichim, so why should that be relevant to the airspace above the shulchan that's mekadesh? He leaves that as a tzarechiyun. Tosos, on the other hand, says, oh, I understand this totally. We've seen earlier in the Masechta that the Gemara compares the kmitza that's taken off of a mincha to the removal of the bazichim from the shulchan. The removal of the bazichim from the shulchan is the equivalent of kmitza by a regular mincha. If you say that, that means that the shulchan works like a kli sheret to hold everything together as a single unit, the lechem aponim and the bazichim. And when you remove the bazichim, it's like you're taking off a kmitza. And that's why we're discussing about the kiddush of the bazichim or how much airspace they would take up because they are relevant to the kiddush of the shulchan. Vaika karnot. This is what we discussed before. I told you that karnot, karnaim, should go upright. So if they're karnot, then should stand up higher. Karnot, the gaved lechem kaiflu. And that's what I pictured for you over here. That the karnaim are turned inward because they're going to sit on top of each other and they do not take up height or airspace over here. The lechem alayu nachle. And the lechem sits on top of it. Vaika misgarto. What about the misgaret? So now, I just told you about this, the tofach saviv. Tofach saviv is the misgaret. The misgaret sits above the level of the shulchan. That means that it's actually raised place. The lechem doesn't start being placed on the shulchan until a tefach higher. So Gemara says, "Kemand amar misgarto b'mataita." That's what I pictured for you over here. That the misgaret is below the level of the shulchan. It actually takes up in the 1.5 amot of the height of the shulchan. It takes up one tefach here. In that 1.5 amot of one tefach up by the tofach, the shulchan, the flat board, sits on top of that. So that's what it's be according to that mand amar. Gemara says, "Unu mand amar misgarto l'mala aitab kudei avim mifarkada v'lechem begavei the shulchan avayotif." Says even according to the one who says that the misgaret sat above the level of the shulchan, it was beveled, basically. There was a sense that it came in, and the lechem sat inside of it. It didn't take up any space inside. So it sat above that level, but not that it actually, that the lechem had to start above it, but it was open and beveled on the inside, so it allowed you to sit the lechem inside the shulchan itself. Kidetanyo, we have such a machlokas about where the tofach sat. The snipim were not there, like I pictured over here, the snipim going all the way down to the ground, but rather the misgirit mizmamedet at the lechem. The misgirit going around used to hold up the lechem. Well, it's hard, I don't know how. This misgirit is not, it was only a tefach high, so I'm not sure how it held up all the lechem. Snipim drive, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to have 15 or 12 tefachim high. The misgirit itself is only a tefach wide, so it held the base or the bottom lechem. I don't know how it held the upper lechem up. Tosvot the Shita To says here again that only the bottom lechem did need support. Even with the snipim, we saw before in the Gemara that the snipim had these markings or psalim at Roshehem. So Tosa says Roshehem means down at the bottom. Roshehem means at the beginning of the snipim, and they were there to support the bottom lechem apanim. So Tosas believes just like by the snipim, they were supported only at the bottom by those psalim. So too, over here, the misgeret supports the bottom lechem, and so he doesn't see it as being anything exceptional by the fact that Rabbi Yossi only requires the misgeret as opposed to the snipim to support the lechem apanim. Position Amarlo, Mizgirto l'mala haita. They said to Rabbi Yossi, no, that the misgeret's below, like we pictured over here, that there's actually a misgeret that sits below the lechem themselves.
But there are two different things, so then if one was the Tanim Chalalim, what was the other thing?
It's Rabbi Yossi who says that there are no snipim. What does he do with the pasuk? Tosus leaves that as a tema. I don't know what Rabbi Yossi does. And then also you have the problem that snipim hold the kanim. According to Rabbi Yossi, I don't know how the kanim were held in place. They just sat there independently. I'm assuming that's what happened because of the pressure on it. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion, but just shows you that somebody believes the misgeret's above. All right, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. The divi omer misgeretol matayta tavla mitapechet tmeya. So now, first of all, if the misgeret sits below, that means that the flat of the shulchan sits on top. The board of the shulchan sits on top, and that means that you can flip it over. It's useful on both sides. You could flip over this tavla, no problem. So Rabbi Yochanan, the divi omer misgeretol matayta tavla mitapechet. I learned from that that a table that has a flat surface that can be flipped over is tmeya. The divi omer misgadol malo, the one Rabbi Yosu says the misgered was above the shulchan. We don't have an answer to that question. The tofach saviv is one of two ways of being placed on the shulchan. One way is that it's actually attached to the legs of the shulchan, and therefore the shulchan that sits on top is just a flat board. The other possibility is that the tofach saviv is attached to the shulchan itself, and they together sit on the legs, and that's called misgered. The mala. Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that if you believe the misgeret is the mato, then we can bring a conclusion about tavla hamitapechet, a flat top that is able to flip over and is useful on both sides. That is tmeya. The reason must be because the din of the shulchan is that it can come tamei. If the shulchan can come tamei, that's marer, or that shows us that the board, the tavla on top, which flips over, also can become tamei. Whereas if the shulchan looks like this, which is according to Rabbi Yossi with the misgeret around the board itself, if that's the case, then we can't make any conclusions about tavla mitapechet, because the reason the shulchan is going to be tamei is because you have a beit kibul. You have a beit kibul here, and we're not talking about pshutei kliyets. The din of a pshutei kliyets being tamei, broken down, Tosfos breaks it down to three parts, just laid out quickly. One is pshutei kliyets are tehorim, period. That's a din in general. Flat pieces of wood cannot become tamei. There's a second level, which is called the tavla shel nachtomim, which is the plank or the bread, where they used to arrange the dough on that, the bakers, that is tamei mit derabanan. It's a pshutei kliyets, it's tamei mit derabanan. The reason for that, and Rashi discusses this, is because it says it's so large. Since the shetach, the area of this board is so large, it's considered as if it has a beit kibul, even though it doesn't. So that's a din derabanan, it's tamei. Our case over here is a case that it's a pshutei kliyets, it's going to be tamei mit deoraita, min haTorah. What's different? So the first stage, you said, Tahor the Gamrei. Nachtomim, the flat board of Nachtomim, it's so big that it's like it has a Beit Kibbutz with Rabbanan. So our board is the same here. It's a very large board. So we'll classify it as if it has a Beit Kibbutz. That'll make it enough to Rabbanan. What elevates it to the level Doraita? Tosfot says over here is because it services both Adam and Mishamshe Adam. The board services both man and man's utensils. And since it has both of those, that elevates it to a level Doraita and it's Tamei Doraita. The question the Gemara has is, that it suggests that the Shulchan was able to be Mekabel Tumah. Now it's Kliyetz Hasuna Nachatu. It's a Kliyetz that doesn't move. It's heavy. Nobody moves it. So what do you mean? Why would it be Mekabel Tumah? B'chol Kliyetz Hasuna Nachatu Mekabel Tumah. My time. What's the reason for that? Dumi the Sak. We have a din by Tumah that has to be like a sack. It has to be as a Beit Kibul. It has to be movable. But that's not here. Masak Metaltel Malei Vereikan. Afkol Metaltel Vereikan Malei Vereikan. Since the Lord Tumah is went out of the Pasuk from Sak, therefore we have the din like a sack that has to be able to be carried full and empty, and it also has to have a Beit Kibul. Shulchan Nami Metaltel Malei Vereikan. The Shulchan itself was also carried around. Even when the bread was on it, it was carried around. Kidereish Lakish, Damereish Lakish, Maidechtiv al Shulchan HaTohor. What does it mean al Shulchan HaTohor? Why is the Shulchan called Shulchan HaTohor? Tohor, Miklal Dika Tamei. Tohor, it means it could become Tamei. Alamalamech, Shemekbino told the Olei Regalim, Omarim Balechem. They used to carry it out of the Eichal to show the Olei Regalim, the Lechem Panim, the nace that happened there. Armin and Lamb, Ruchi Batchem, if Namakom, see how much Hashem loves you. What is that? Kidib Rabbi Yosef ben Levi, Dam Rabbi Yosef ben Levi, Nes Gadol Naseb Lechem Apanim, Siduko Siduro. That it was fresh. That when they took it off, it was as fresh as the day they put it on. Even a week later, it was still as fresh as they put it on. Well, Shinemar, the proof is from the pasuk we used yesterday by David Melch, Asum Lechem Cham, Beyom Hilak Cho. They put the Lechem Cham like the day it's taken. In that it's as warm on the day it's taken as the day that is placed.
Can I say that? Why don't we say that during the Masaros they were?
Well, we're in the Mikdash now. So we're talking about in the Mikdash, in the time of Shlomo Melech, fine. In the Mishkan, fine. But here we're talking about the Mikdash. The Shulchan of Mikdash is not made to move. It doesn't need to move. It stays there. It's stationary. It never moves. So why was it moved? For this one issue that the Olei Regalim, it was moved. Tosfos over here mentions that the carrying in the Midbar is not its permanent state. Its state, when it is placed down, is stationary. The Nisiyata Shulchan doesn't classify as being carried Malei and Reichan. Right, so now the Gemara says, all right, well, typically Mishum Tzipui. What about the fact that it's plated in metal? It's wood plated in gold. We have a Mishnah, Shulchan. In the Mishnayot, it's actually a Dufki, not the Duviki, but with a Fei. So a Shulchan is a large Shulchan. A Duviki is like a serving table. Rashi calls it over here some leather. Shenifchatu. They were big and they became smaller. They got ruined. The tabletop got ruined and became much smaller. Oh, Shechipan B'Shaish. Or he coated them with stone, meaning that here it sounds like some sort of stone or some sort of clay adama or marble, whatever it is that does not mekabel tumah. B'shir be'em makom anachat kosot. In either instance, if the table was knocked down to the point where all it could do was hold cups on it, or you put on this coating but you left one part of it where you didn't coat it that it has room for cups. Tameim. It's tameim because there's still, the shulchan still functions in its original right, and it's considered to be a kliyetz and not a kli that is tzipui. B'yud omer, makom anachat chatichot. B'shir in, lo shir lo. Not just for cups, you have to have enough place for your bread and your meat as well. That has to be enough the size of this table. But now we have a shulchan that's completely covered in gold. That should indicate that it's tzipui zahav should make it tameh. Because metal does not need to have, doesn't have all the rules of wood. Wood is found in the same pasuk as sak, therefore it's defined by sak of malei reikan. Metal is independent, has its own din of tuma, and therefore it doesn't matter if you carry it, don't carry it, no matter what, metal is mekabel tuma. Now if tzipui with zahav should be mekabel tuma, irrespective of whether it can be carried or not. Fuyomeid is, either Rashi says it's nailed in and it's permanent there. Tosfos says it stands on its own. Without the internal piece, the wood on the inside, the metal would stand on its own. Whether it can stand by itself or not stand by itself. He asked this question. Is this a case where they were talking about a tzipui that can stand on its own or not stand on its own? Is this a case where he also covered the rim around it or the decorative apron of the table? He says, doesn't matter. So now we have a problem, which we'll have to finish off tomorrow. And we have now this shulchan, which we're wondering if it's tamei. We're saying it's tamei because they carried it out. Let's say it's tamei because it's metallic. It has a metallic coating on it. That metallic coating on it should make it tamei. From that, Rabbi Yochanan wants to conclude, it depends on where you think the frame is here. If you think the frame is below the table, then you have a flat piece of wood that can be flipped over. Now we know that the shulchan can become tamei. The fact that the shulchan become tamei and the frame is below and the shulchan sits on top of it and you can flip that board over, we see from that that a board that can be flipped over is tamei. Tavla that can be flipped and sits on top can be tamei. Then if you think the mizgeret sits above like Rabbi Yossi, that means that the table itself, the tavla, was locked into the table. It was not flipped. It couldn't be flipped over or moved at all, because it didn't sit on top of the legs of the table. It sat inside the mizgeret of the table. That's the case, you can't flip it over, and we won't know the din. That all can be true if you believe that the shulchan become tamei. Well, we said, yes, the shulchan become tamei. How do we know the shulchan become tamei? Even though it's a kli eitz shalmei benachas that doesn't get moved, unless they do move it once a year, three times a year, by the holy regalim to show it. So that's why it became tamei. The Gemara challenged that in the end and say, why do you have to go to the fact that they lifted it up to come tamei? The fact that it's coated in metal is enough that should make it tamei. And therefore, we have to deal with that tomorrow, why the Gemara was talking about it being carried out versus coated in metal.